Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. So we got some big news in the housing market. And I touched on this last week, but now we've done some research, believe it or not, and I've come up with some new data that kind of backs up what I was saying last week. So let's go through this. And then I want to connect some dots with the real estate market, housing prices, that this one's going to catch you off guard. So make sure you're sitting down for this one, because I'm going to give you something to think about that I guarantee you, you've never thought about before. Actually, let me write it down so I don't forget. I always do that. I always say I'm going to talk about something at the beginning of the video, and then I get off on a tangent and never talk about it. All right. So last week, if you guys remember, we went over this article from Reuters, and this is not the article from Reuters. This is the article from Reuters, where it was talking about housing supply improving. And you guys know from watching my videos that I've talked about how very low inventory isn't necessarily bullish for prices, how that could be bearish for prices, because if you just get a little bit of additional supply, it could have a disproportionate effect on prices to the downside. Just like it could have a disproportionate effect to prices on the upside if you see demand increase. But if you've got prices that are pretty much flat, if you have all-time low supply or all-time low inventory, well, then you also have all-time low demand. If you didn't, prices would be going straight up. And the easiest thought experiment I can give you to explain the point here is to take it to an extreme. So let's just say you have a million homes for sale and the price really isn't moving too much. Might be going up or down a little bit. That means basically there's demand for about a million homes. So if you add 10 homes of inventory to the existing million, it's probably not going to move the needle too much. But if you only have 10 homes for sale and prices are relatively flat, if you add an additional 10 homes to that number, all of a sudden, that's going to have a massive impact on nominal prices. Now, again, obviously, I'm taking it to an extreme, but that just goes to show you the lower the float, the higher the volatility, not just to the upside, but to the downside. And we have to remember that if prices are relatively stable or have been for a while, that tells you demand is pretty much equal to supply. And if supply is at all-time lows, is demand, again, all-time lows is again. I can't talk today. Demand at all-time lows as well. So getting back to this article last week, I was kind of scratching my head because they said, well, we've got housing supply increasing. We have inventory increasing. Therefore, the number of sales also increasing. But then they went on to say how prices were going up. And right here, sales were boosted by an improvement in housing supply, with inventory surging 5.9%, the highest since February of 2020. And then they went on later on down the article here to talk about how prices had been going up, and same old story, how this is kind of pushing out first-time homebuyers. And I was saying, that's weird, because based on the mechanics, if you've got more supply hitting the market, it doesn't seem like prices should be going up unless we have demand going up much more than the inventory that's hitting the market. And they're, again, a head scratcher because mortgage rates haven't moved that much. And it's definitely not like real incomes are going up to a significant degree. So it didn't really pass the smell test until now. Let's go over to this article from Zero Hedge. U.S. new home sales unexpectedly drop in February as prices tumbled. Okay, now this is starting to make a little bit more sense. Low inventory, more supply, housing prices likely going down, assuming prices weren't going up to begin with. A big surprise surge existing home sales. Okay, based on this chart, that's what we're looking at. Sales declined in the Northeast, Midwest, okay. And this is according to KB Homes. Buyers have largely adjusted to the rate environment, and we are encouraged by, but think about what they're saying. So buyers have largely adjusted to the rate environment. So buyers are making more money, because if they're not making more money, And I'm talking about their purchasing power isn't expanding. In other words, their income isn't going up at a faster rate than inflation. Then how are they adjusting to the rate environment? How are they adjusting to the higher cost of housing? You see, they're not. You got to scratch beneath the surface and understand the dynamics that are at play to determine if they're adjusting or if they're just absorbing the cost, or if this is something that just Jeffrey is saying because he's the CEO of KB Home. It's reality versus narrative. That's what we got to figure out. So not sure we can trust words coming out. Okay, yeah, right. So we've got, they're talking about the builder subsidy. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. How they don't increase the price, but they give you a subsidy for buying the house to offset the cost of your interest rate, which basically is a price decline, but it doesn't show up in the statistics. They talked about how median new home price has fallen 7.6% year over year. There you've got to ask yourself, is it just people buying smaller homes? Or is that an accurate number, but that's just looking at new homes? How does that impact all homes, existing home sales, or existing home prices? So that's the lowest median new home price since June of 2021, as existing home prices rose in February. Okay, but now we've got to look at the total, the combined of the two. Now this is supply of homes, okay? But let's shoot over to Case-Shiller. So S&P CoreLogic, and coupling this with that first article we saw from Reuters, where they're saying that the supply was actually increasing, it's where it starts to make sense. So you've got the 1 month, the 3 month, and you got price declines, nominal price declines, by the way. This would not be adjusted for inflation. Now, it is true. It's not year to date. I don't know why they're using year to date. I actually clicked on this number because that didn't make sense. And they're saying year to date, but it's actually last year. So it is true that nominal prices went up last year. But again, what did real prices do? That's what we should be concerned with. And nominal prices, we're seeing definite declines. Like here's, just look at a chart. So this is 1 year, but we go to the quarter. And also keep in mind, this is Q4 of 2023. It doesn't even have Q1 of 2024, which I think it's safe to assume that the trajectory or the trend would be lower. Understanding or considering that the supply is increasing and the inventories were at an all-time low. So my base case, all things considered, when we see the numbers for 2024, Q1, I would expect to see a further decline. And if supply continues to go up and up and up, although that may be great for the housing market, great for first-time home buyers, there are always trade-offs. As far as nominal prices or real prices, maybe not so good. Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do, and this year, it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers, guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd. Another thing that I want to bring up is something we touched on at the beginning of this video, which was the inventories being low. Another way to say that is the float is low. There's you can look at that in terms of stock You can look at that in terms of any asset, really. Look at Bitcoin. And the more hodlers you get, the lower the float, the higher the volatility, likely. Because whenever you're adding the same amount of demand or the same amount of supply to an environment where, using real estate terms, the inventory is very, very low, therefore demand is extremely low, you're going to see wild swings up and down just based on what's happening in the macro or what's happening with a narrative, what's happening with a storyline. And it takes me back to something Chris Cole always said, that you can't get rid of volatility. If you try to suppress volatility, you can do that for a certain period of time, but at some point, it's going to show up in a place you weren't looking. So it's almost like having a plastic bag of water and trying to squeeze the whole thing. Something's going to pop out, like through your fingers. And this was the idea of volatility, and it made a lot of sense. That if you think about the fact that we live in a very volatile world, human beings are volatile. The earth, the weather, pretty much everything we deal with, it goes in cycles. We have ups, we have downs, and sometimes they can happen very quickly. Nothing is ever static. The one constant is things are always, always changing. So if the central planners have tried to come in and suppress volatility to the point where most people look at the stock market as an example and see that just basically like a bond, that's when you know that there's been artificially low volatility. When you have all these YouTubers, when the mainstream media, when all the financial planners out there are basically looking at the stock market as though over the long run, it's a guaranteed 8% return or a guaranteed 10% return. Just like buying a bond, only you've got the upside of capital appreciation. They make it seem like you're just buying a call option. You're getting paid to own a call option. That's not realistic. That's not the world we live in. So my point is, the longer they've been able to artificially suppress volatility for whatever reason, when you do see that volatility rear its ugly head, it's likely to going to be far more extreme than it otherwise would have been, because we can't eliminate that vol. We can only change where the vol is observed and the time frame to which it's observed. So what's interesting right now is, if you think about pretty much all assets, well, let's say risk assets. I don't know if I'd put homes as a risk asset, but let me be more specific. When we look at the stock market, when we look at Bitcoin, gold might even fall into this category. I'd have to look at the dynamics. But when you look at the real estate market, the supply of assets is shrinking. Why do I say the stocks? Because the corporations are doing all these buybacks. Now, I don't know what's happened more recently, but when I was doing videos on this in 2019, 20, 21, that's what all these corporations were doing. They're loading up on debt to buy back their shares. And you saw the amount of shares available actually decreasing. That's reducing the size of the overall float. And therefore, like we said throughout this video, you should expect volatility to increase. So everyone knows we're in the everything bubble. There's no denying that. But what's interesting is, when you look at the mechanics behind these asset classes, we could be going from, and I think this would be my base case, that all of the volatility that has been suppressed since, let's say, 2000 could be coming to the forefront very soon. Is that in 2024, 2025? Who knows? Who knows? But you can't keep it artificially suppressed forever. We know that. And what has changed, or the catalyst that might bring this about, are the mechanics that are involved behind the scenes, not just in the real estate market, but a lot of these other asset classes that we discuss on this channel all the time that are very popular with the mainstream, the average Joe and Jane. So I guess my main takeaway would be, whether it's in, and what's weird too is the housing market really isn't very volatile historically. But at the end of the day, these are just basic laws of economics. And I don't know how the real estate market would circumvent that. And to be clear, if you have volatility, it's not just to the downside. it could be to the upside as well. You don't know. But you could just see a heartbeat going back and forth for quite some time. But just think about the impact that would have on the economy if that plays out with everything that would be included in the quote-unquote everything bubble. Lot of interesting thought experiments. A lot of rabbit holes we could go down there. But the more I look at this, the more I think this is kind of my base case that it's going to be a roller coaster ride for the rest of 2024 and into 2025, possibly beyond. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism, and definitely check out Rebel Capitalists Live. I should have brought it up here, Josh. I don't know what I'm thinking. You got to get your tickets ASAP. This is going to be an incredible conference. It's going to be the best of any conference that you've ever seen in your entire life, the world has ever seen. We've got some awesome speakers. You can check out all the details at rebelcapitalistlive.com, and we'll see you in the next video.